2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, to complement the words that have been given us by Brother Lightbody. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, told him this, beginning in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You heard the testimonies of people who have read the Word of God, and it made them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then he tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, all of the wisdom, understanding, knowledge that we have comes from God. Now, how does God communicate that to us? We read in the Old Testament that in the olden days he would speak to the fathers by the prophets. He would come to some prophet and say, "Thus saith the Lord, you tell the people this." And they would speak. Sometimes angels of God would be sent to communicate God's message to mankind. But how does God communicate with us today? Listen to me. By the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Scriptures, which is our Bible. God is not going to appear to you in a vision. He's not going to speak to you through a prophet. He's going to speak to you through the Word of God, your Bible. And he can't speak unless you're listening. The most important book in this entire world is our Bible. It's God's Word. Now, we know about the originals. For the most part, they were written in the Hebrew language, and the New Testament was originally written in the Greek language. And how did God's Word ever get put down on paper anyway? Did you ever think about that? How do we know that what we have written in the pages of our Bible is truly God's Word? There are a lot of people that doubt that today. But listen, God is so concerned that he revealed himself through the Word of God, and to get it accurately, he used holy men of old who wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, God knew that they had natural abilities, natural talents, and limited vocabularies. And left to themselves, it would be inaccurate. They would make mistakes. It would be unclear in its presentation. That would defeat God's purpose. So, God sent his Holy Spirit to work in them, and they wrote as God gave divine supernatural leadership and enablement to these people to guarantee that what they spoke and wrote was accurate and correct truth. The Bible is divinely inspired. Now, there are seven principles of this, called seven principles of inspiration, I'd like to share with you for a few minutes. These, by the way, are not original. What I'm sharing with you came from Dr. Kenneth Cancer, K-A-N-T-Z-E-R. Not C-A-N-C-E-R. This is from a course that he taught at Wheaton graduate school during the school year of 1958 and 1959. And in the preface to this, here's what he said, and I quote, "Inspiration is the work of the Holy Spirit by which, through the instrumentality of the whole personality and literary talents of its human authors, he constitutes the words of the Bible in its entirety as his written word to men, and therefore of divine authority and without error in the original transcripts." And then he gives the seven principles of inspiration. And you might want to make a note. You have a place there in your bulletin if you want to write these down and search them out. Now, the first principle is divine authorship. Divine authorship. Every book has an author. And the Bible has an author. Apart from God, there'd be no Bible. It didn't come from man, though it came through man. God used 40 different men in its composition. But God is both the author and the source of the content of your Bible. The second principle is divine authority that we sometimes call infallibility. Inspiration guarantees the divine authority of the Bible. Now, the Bible is the declaration of the will and the purpose of Almighty God, the Creator, the Sovereign Lord, the Judge of the whole universe for humanity. It is authority. And it has authority over every man. Now look, we have a lot of laws in our country. Stacks and stacks and stacks of them. And I dare say that there's not a single one of us, or no one knows all of them. Okay? Some of them don't even know where to find some of them. They're hid. We've got so many laws. And there's not a person here that is not and has not been in violation of some of those laws. There's so many of them. They're the authority. They just enforce. And by the way, this is a warning to you. In our neighborhood, the authorities that be are enforcing traffic laws because there is revenue to be gained from these our policemen who write tickets for traffic violations. And in this economic situation in which our country finds itself, they need money. And so they're enforcing laws that are going to bring them in revenue. Mark it down. All right, we're under the authority as citizens of this country to these laws. But listen, there is a higher law. And that higher law is God and His Word. Now, this Bible that we have has authority over all mankind, whether it's acknowledged or not. And when we read it and apply it to our lives, we bring our philosophy of life, our value system, our conduct into conformity with its teachings. Those that disregard this authority will find themselves in serious trouble and facing dire circumstances in time to come. Divine authority. Third principle is verbal inspiration. Did you know that every single one of those 773,746 words in your Bible are God inspired. It comes from God. And if it came from man, they'd be inaccurate. But they came from God. For Scripture to convey the accurate words of God, every word has to be inspired of God. Fourth principle is what we call plenary inspiration. Now, what does that mean? That means that every part of the Bible is inspired equally. Now, in some Bibles, you'll find the words of Christ read in red instead of black print. I remember 1950. I just surrendered to preach. I was in a bookstore. I was looking for a good Bible. And I was thumbing through there, and there was a fellow standing next to me, older fellow. I was young then. I started talking to him, and I said, "You know, I'm looking for a good Bible, and I like this one, but it doesn't have the words of Christ in red." And he looked at me up over his glasses. He was a little shorter than I was. He looked up at me and he said, "Son," he said, "every word is God's word. It's all important. It's inspired equally." Now, some people will argue with you that there are only parts of the Bible that are inspired and free from error. And there are some that say there are differing degrees of inspiration. That some parts of the Bible, particularly those that deal with historical facts, may be inaccurate. And those that, there are many in there that deal with scientific facts that are inaccurate, they say today. So they're not inspired. That's saying that parts of the Bible are inspired and parts of it aren't. And the person that tells you that usually will claim to be smart enough to tell you the difference. He makes himself a judge of God's Word, and he can tell you this is inspired and this one isn't. But we believe that the whole Bible is inspired and inspired equally, because that word plenary means entire or complete. Plenary inspiration. The fifth principle is inerrancy. That means that the Bible was written without error. Everything in it was recorded accurately. The sixth principle is human factors. Yes, God used human beings to write the Bible. They used their fingers. They used their own personality, their intellect, their training, their abilities, their cultural backgrounds, their literary style. There's Isaiah. He was a very well-educated man. In the Old Testament, Moses was well educated. He went through the schools of higher learning in Egypt. And in the New Testament, Paul was the educated one. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the day. But then there are those who, according to Acts chapter 4, and the people of Israel and the elders of Israel call Peter and John, a couple of fishermen, by the way, ignorant and unlearned men. So some of the writers that God used for the Bible were intelligent and educated, and some were ignorant and unlearned men. And did you know that God used those ignorant and unlearned men to write 7 of the 27 books of our New Testament? God overcame their human difficulties if they had any. So it ends up being God's word in human language that humans can understand. And they wrote exactly what God dictated to them. It was, "Thus saith the Lord." God worked with these human writers in such a way that they wrote down exactly what God wanted us to know. And then there's the original autographs. There are those that say, well, only the original auto, the original copies, the first copy that came off the press from God's finger, that was the only one that was inspired of God. Everything else was copied, and it's, you know, down through the years, it's got mistakes in it and things like that. But listen, true, God gave Moses on Mount Sinai 2 tables of stone on which the finger of God had written the 10 commandments. And all the rest of the scriptures are just as authentic, they are just as inspired as the 10 commandments that God wrote with his own finger. And none of these originals are available today. You may wonder why God, being as powerful as he is, didn't preserve the original documents. What would happen if we had the original documents today? They would be in some museum worth billions of dollars. And if the Catholics had them, they'd be worshiping them. Look what happened to the Dead Sea Scrolls when they found those. Such worship would be idolatrous, wouldn't it? Don't worry about it. The Bible has been miraculously copied, translated, and preserved through the ages in a most fascinating way, and it is still the authoritative word of God to mankind. It is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Our Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles regarded the copies of the scriptures which were available to them in their day as being the divinely inspired word of God, and so should we, and we should appreciate what we have. God is good to us to give us his word, and we have it today. All right. Now, we're going to be celebrating in a few minutes here. Tim and Monica's little baby boy that's going to be born one of these days. And we're going to pray for that young man, that God will put his hand on his life and use him. I think of the time when Mary went down to see her cousin Elizabeth. She said, Mary, or she says to Elizabeth, she says, Elizabeth, I'm going to have a baby. But Mary, you're not married. She said, I know that. But the Holy Spirit of God came upon me, and I conceived in my womb, and my baby will be called the Son of God. Now, Elizabeth herself was 6 months pregnant at the time. And when Mary spoke those words about Jesus, that little baby, which would become John the Baptist, leaped in his mother's womb. He heard. He understood. And here he Jesus was born, and he became the forerunner for Christ. He became the one to point him out and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I'll tell you, God moves in mysterious ways. And I'm hoping and praying that this little baby boy that's in the womb will be touched by the hand of God in such a way that God will use him to turn many to righteousness. That's my prayer for that little baby boy that we're expecting. So we're going to be celebrating today the birth of this baby, and it's the baby shower and the lunch out here that's been prepared, fried chicken. Now look, it's my habit to kind of wait until the traffic is eased a little bit before I go through the line. That's all right. Don't you worry about the preacher, as long as there's chicken in there. But don't eat it all before I get there. Let's stand together for prayer. I love you. Glad you came today. And again, Brother John, go back there and stand by the door so people can come out and give you give an offering for the Gideons. We've got a check for you from the church here too. And Brother Buddy, you're up here. Come lead us in prayer.
Okay. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you for the testimony set before us by Brother John. Amen. And the work that the Gideons do throughout the world to put your word into the hands of many that need to know you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless this time together, bless this fellowship with our brothers and sisters as we celebrate the coming of a new life into this community and this fellowship. Lord, this blessed food nourishment of our bodies. Thank you for the message Pastor brought us to remind us about your holy, inspired word. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.